The title for today's devotion is taken from Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There are two things that I keep in my mind's eye during this time of international crisis. One is counting the days we have been on lockdown, then staying close to the TV daily coronavirus reports to see if the pandemic is receding, comparing the time it is taking, comparing the trends with other countries, to try and evaluate when we are likely to see the end of this pandemic, especially in our country of Great Britain. During this traumatic time in lockdown, having to stay at home to prevent the pandemic spreading has created a great amount of stress and sadness for many people whose loved ones have succumbed to the disease and died. Many folk have died without a member of their family or friends at their bedside, nor have many of their friends been able to attend their funeral. For many folk on lockdown, staying in their homes is a very testing time, when they see the needs of others and can't help them, especially if they live on their own. On Friday the 1st of May, we passed the 40th day since the shutdown became law. My wife and I regularly listen to Christine Darg on the TV channel, or on her website, JerusalemChannel.tv. Christine has a great gift of teaching, especially when explaining how these end-time events tie up so well with God's purposes for the Jews. Christine is a Messianic Jew, that is, one who is a true believer in Jesus. Christine recently explained that the word quarantine derives from a Latin word meaning 40. Back in the 14th century, ships docking at the ports had to go into quarantine for 40 days to check if they were carrying any type of dangerous diseases before unloading their goods. I thought, how interesting. Numbers have an important meaning in the Bible. There are a number of instances in the Bible where 40 is either mentioned concerning days or years. Often we find men and women who have found themselves in quarantine in similar circumstances for either 40 days or 40 years. Soon after creation, mankind turned their backs on God and fell grossly into sin, except for righteous Noah. Noah's 40 days inside the ark, that is nearly 6 weeks, he was on lockdown, isolated from the flood. Let's remind ourselves why Noah and his family found themselves locked up in the ark for those 40 days. We read in Genesis 6:5-8, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord." We then read how God asked Noah to build this great ark, and once complete, God drew the various animals and creatures into the ark. Then we read in Genesis 7:16, "The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in." After the flood, we know that God promised he would never again flood the world by putting the rainbow in the sky as a sign. In Genesis 9:15-17, God said, "I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all on the earth. In these circumstances, Noah, who was a righteous man, was being protected by God, while God inflicted punishment and destroyed mankind because of their evil ways. Let us remind ourselves of God's promise to those who remain faithful to him. In Psalm 91:4 we read, "Because he loves me, saith the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him." In the days we live in, again, mankind has fallen away and turned their back on God. He has permitted an invisible plague come onto this earth, with the result that many thousands will have lost their lives. We see the whole world in lockdown and quarantine. God wants the world to recognize him and see he is the author of life. He wants mankind to turn back to him and be the one to be at the helm of everything we say and do, enabling him to guide and lead, to bring purpose and fulfillment in our life. Let us now go to the second book of the Bible, Exodus, and see where 40 is mentioned. In Exodus we read about the birth and life of Moses. But at the age of 40 years, Moses murdered one of the Egyptians who was badly beating one of his fellow Israelites. When Moses discovered he'd been found out, he fled and escaped to Midian. For a further 40 years, Moses spent his time rearing sheep for his future father-in-law. Then, while attending the sheep, he noticed a burning bush, and when he went to look at it, God spoke out of the bush. At the burning bush, God called Moses for a special consignment of going back to the Pharaoh of Egypt and requests the release of Moses' own family members, the Israelites, from the grip of the Egyptians. Moses then led the family of Israelites 40 years in the desert before Joshua took over as leader to begin the final journey of leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. Moses had found himself in a privileged position living in the king's palace, learning how to govern. But he was isolated from his own family, the Israelites. In Exodus 1:1-7 we read, "Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" God knows the end from the beginning. He knew what he had planned for the life of Moses. Moses had to understand the way Pharaoh led the nation. But it is a miracle to see how God enabled Moses to be cared for by his own mother, a Hebrew from the line of Levi. We know what a vital role mothers play in bringing up their children. Moses' mother was a godly lady from the tribe of Levi, the tribe who God would use to be the spiritual leaders when they eventually leave Egypt. Then we read in Exodus 2:11-22. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to rule their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He drew water for us and watered the flocks." "And where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." Moses no longer had his mother to encourage and guide him. He was on his own. Now he was completely isolated. It is not unlike what we see happening here around the world during the corona plague. Many families have been split up, with mothers and fathers staying at their place of work to protect their families from the virus being transmitted. Grandchildren isolated from their grandparents. But what I notice is the godly characteristics developing in Moses. Before he fled from Pharaoh, he defended his own people by killing an Egyptian and then seeking to settle a quarrel between two of his people. When he arrives in Midian, he protects the priest's daughters. We can see the moral standing developing in Moses. All this was to develop Moses for the task that lay ahead in leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and be their leader for 40 years in the desert. God, in a wonderful way, uses every situation to mould us for the task ahead. Already we are hearing and seeing folk who have a changed attitude to life, becoming more understanding and caring as a result of what they are going through at the moment. As we look back and reflect on each of these instances in the Bible connected with 40, we see a set of principles emerging for Christian living. Noah, who God saw as a righteous man, was quarantined for 40 days to protect him from the impending flood, which would wipe out the whole world. We serve a God who has the best interest at heart for his people. He wants us to be faithful to him. He has promised to protect us from all dangers around us, as is quoted by the psalmist in Psalm 91:8-9. "You will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 34:6-8, "The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." The experiences that Moses went through give us another set of principles in how God prepared Moses for the tasks he faced. Along the way, Moses learnt many lessons, as is often been quoted. He spent 40 years growing up in the Pharaoh's palace, learning to be somebody. He then spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, learning to be nobody. Then he spent his last 40 years with God, having first become somebody, then 40 years being nobody, to become somebody for God. God taught Moses humility. Moses learnt to be humble, but also he learnt to be obedient. How important for us to learn and seek to follow Moses' example. God said to the Israelites through Moses in Deuteronomy 8:1-3, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." God takes us through these trials and testing to make us strong, to be able to live up to the task he has for each one of us. This time we are spending in lockdown, in quarantine, gives us the opportunity to strengthen our spiritual muscles, to see if our faith will see us through, to come out the other end rejoicing and thanking God for his abundant love and mercy. What do we read in Micah 6:8? "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Let us now turn our minds to the New Testament, where we read about Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness. We read in Luke 4:1-3, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry." Jesus knew it was time to begin his 3 years of intense ministry before he gave his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. Jesus needed to be ready for the task ahead. He needed to be prepared. Notice, it was under the power of the Holy Spirit he was led into the wilderness. In the King James Version of the Bible, this verse is presented in two different ways. In Matthew 4:1, the translation is similar to the NIV. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." But then in Mark 1:12 we read, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." You could so rightly say these two descriptions contradict. One says drive, and the other verse says led. As a child of God, when we know the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can fully appreciate what the different renderings in these verses to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives mean. When the Holy Spirit speaks into our heart and soul, he will give us a strong desire. We will be led to do or understand in a certain way. Yet, that desire, when the Holy Spirit wants to take us on a certain journey to do a task for him, becomes a passionate desire. Indeed, you will feel a drive in your spirit. Yes, you will be driven to fulfill the task God has asked you to do. When my wife and I were first offered land in Romania, having already the desire in my heart to share God's love as well as to help those in dire poverty, I truly experienced God's voice in my spirit. But it was not just a voice I was hearing. I became overwhelmed with a passionate, unstoppable desire. It was an unstoppable force driving me to fulfill what God was leading me and my wife to do. Like Moses, Jesus for the first 30 years of his life was being prepared for the task ahead. During those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus needed to set aside time with his Father, because what he was about to do and what would happen to him at the end of his earthly life would influence the future of all mankind around the world. His ultimate death and resurrection would enable mankind to be reconciled back to God. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You may be asking the question, do I need to be reconciled to God? Yes, we all need to be reconciled back to God. In a day to come, Jesus is coming back to the earth. He said about himself in Matthew 25:31-33. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. We read in 1 Peter 2, 21-25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2:1-6, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving may be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceably and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleasing God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. The Apostle says in Romans 10:12-14, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For us, as the children of God, we as Christians, it should be our deepest desire to faithfully follow and serve our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is our prime example. We read in Philippians 2:1-11, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one of one mind. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us seek to emulate the life of Christ. Peter brings stimulating encouragement to our leaders. We read in 1 Peter 5:1-5, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. So, let us be patient and wait. And while we wait, continue to be nourished and fed by God. You may be going through a difficult time in this time of waiting. David wrote, while he was in this difficult place, in Psalm 41:3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. From the day that Jesus rose from the dead till he ascended back up into heaven was a period of 40 days. We read in Acts 1:3, after he suffered, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. As followers of Jesus, we can also look ahead for that moment when we too will be taken up into heaven to be with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Living in this world of so much degradation feels very much like a lockdown for the Christian. But we cannot wait for the final call, which Paul tells us about in 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Let me finish with a final word from the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 1:4-10. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in the Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Amen.